Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you are with us tonight. Got Mr. Mangan with us.
Good evening, Eddie and everybody. How are we all doing this evening?
Very good. You are heading to Orlando tomorrow, right?
Yep. Bob and I are heading to the NBA conference, servicing conference out in Orlando tomorrow.
Yep.
So we will spend the next 3 days there.
So you guys do a lot of, that's where you source a lot of vendors and product, right?
It is. A lot of the people we do business with, a lot of our vendors are there, and even new vendors. So, plus they give us updates on any changes that may be going on with the CFPB or Dodd-Frank. They'll have sessions that they discuss that. So it's a very informative conference. That they do a couple of these a year, and they're always good conferences for us to go to.
Good. Got Mr. Matt with us?
Hello.
So it's pretty weather in Denver too, huh?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, I saw that some of our friends in the D.C. and East Coast area were getting snow situations, so I guess we could send them a picture or something.
Send a picture of a golf course or something. That'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got a good bit of content to get over tonight, so we will get up and get after it.
All right, let's. I believe we've got. Rich first. So let me see if he's made it on yet. Rich, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Hey, Rich, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Good. Well, this was a very first kind of thing that came into mind with the listing that I have after attending your classes, where you kind of pointed out several times that usually you can't get the same value out of MLS comps as you can in the real world. So this situation just came to mind, and I kind of just wondered if this is even something that's doable, or is this a case where, since we can't get a note at a discount, it's all kind of hopeless, or it doesn't make sense, not hopeless. But so someone asked for all the details in an email to get ready, and so this is all the info at this point.
Okay. All right, so this is a listing that you've got, and it's in Mesa, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a two-bedroom, right?
Yes. And they're en suites. They're en suites. Each one has its own bathroom arrangement in the bedroom.
Okay.
And then there's a half bath downstairs for the, you know, kitchen and living room area.
Okay. And so you're saying that MLS comps would come in at 97 to a 107?
Yes.
And let's see, Charles. Probably going to mute you there, bud.
Okay.
Am I still okay?
Oh no, it's Charles is got some background noise. He can mute. He's good.
Okay.
So when you say units, do you mean the 925 to 950? You mean that's what the two bedroom unit will rent for?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the net operating income?
I don't know that.
Okay. Well, if you're going to value a rent house, that's the first thing you got to know. I mean, if you're going to run the income approach, and you got nothing until you know what the net operating income is. Right?
I didn't think I had enough information yet to figure that out.
Well, all you got to know is what the taxes and insurance are, right? Or if there's is there a homeowner association?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's $195 a month.
Okay. And what does that homeowner association cover? Does it cover insurance premium?
It covers the insurance on the buildings and the exterior. Yes. Usually owners there get the insurance to cover their belongings inside.
But it doesn't cover taxes.
No.
All right, so Matt, can you get your NOI spreadsheet up real quick?
Yep, give me just a second.
So,
is that one of the spreadsheets I have too from downloading all the stuff in from the site? Which one is that called?
It's calculating. I don't know what's it called, Matt.
I believe it's just the calculating NOI.
Calculating NOI.
Okay, I don't see.
All right,
that.
So just put 950 in there, Matt. I don't know that $100 is going to cover the taxes, but whatever.
That taxes are $404 a year.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So put $50 a month in the taxes. Put insurance at about $40 for the interior. No, take insurance out. Because they got that would be a tenant that covers that. Management fee put in 95, yep. Homeowner association put in 195. Okay. So you're at $7,320 a year. And if you sold that unit, just drop it down, Matt, and change that to like a 7 cap. Probably not going to trade that good. Do an 8 cap. So basically, if you sold that at an 8% annual return on investment per year, it's worth $91,500.
Wow. Okay.
So,
yeah, okay.
I think you're missing a really important part of the equation, Rich. Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason this works and there's such a gap is because it's on lower price band properties. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, this type of a unit does not make good rental property.
Okay.
Okay. Why is that true?
Because of the price of the units too low, the cost of the units too low.
No, it's got a homeowner association.
Oh yeah, okay.
So when condos don't make good rent properties.
Okay.
I just generally tell you right now that. Now, there's some property. Now, let me give you an example. If you were looking at an asset in Ohio and it rented for $950 a month and the net income was $610 a month and the realtor says it was worth $50,000, you got a winner doing this.
Okay.
But you got comps in MLS that are telling you it's selling at an 8 cap rate, between a 7 and an 8 cap rate. You see that?
Yes.
So it you don't really have a rental property deal.
Okay. Okay. Well, I see what you're saying. And
okay.
You know, hey, that's great. This is part of the education I was hoping for tonight. So
yeah. Yeah. No, I got it.
I see.
It's very interesting, like residential real estate people aren't taught this. Like realtors, nobody does this. And I mean, you can see it's not complicated, and you can run it really quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I did look around in the.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No problem.
Oh, I'm gonna throw this in the creek. All right, go ahead, Rich.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, Oh yeah, I was saying that when I did go online, when I logged into Note School page, I got to a place where I downloaded all of those spreadsheets, mm-hmm. but I didn't see this one about the rental NOI particularly. So had I found that one, I might have played around with that a little more beforehand. But hey, you gave me a good education here. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And that's simply what I was curious. You know, she's got to pay off her mortgage, and by the time we get done with realtor fees,
And you're mixing several. You're getting confused here in different things. Okay. The $100 partial has nothing to do with selling turnkey properties with owner financing.
Okay.
Okay, that's not the same deal, right?
Understood. That was more just like throwing out ideas, any kind of concept that might work, you know, that we could dream up or something. But
well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So when you do $100 partial, what are you buying? You're buying an existing performing note at a discount.
Yes.
Okay. That's not what this is, right?
Right.
In other words, that's a car, and you're driving a truck, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to take a residential property and run a income valuation on it to see if it might fit selling it as a turnkey investment property, right? But that's totally different than selling a partial with a $100 model.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Gotcha. So it's a good, I mean, I'm, and I know this is, it's like, this is what we do. You get used to it, it makes more and more sense. And believe me, I have students that reach out to us, you know, during the week, and like, when you covered that helped me. And so you're asking good stuff that there's other people that, you know, kind of get themselves twisted up, they're kind of new in the game with us. Okay?
Yes, sure.
All right, cool.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for the info and education.
All right, Rich. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you later.
You bet.
All right, moving along. So Joe has a question. Let's see if Joe is... There he is. Joe, go ahead.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
It's getting a little warmer in Minneapolis. Looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend.
I was going to say, you're not feeling sorry for us at that 70 degrees, are you?
No, not at all.
All right, so tell us the story here, Joe. I know you've written us or done a really good write-up, but just kind of paraphrase it and tell a story for us.
Well, I have an investor. He's probably one of the toughest critics that I have, and he's basically my brother. Ever since I joined Note School, I've been sort of, telling him about some of the deals I had seen with other people. I hadn't done any at that point in time. And then over the course of a year, I've done several deals and just sort of passed them along his way and just sort of showed him, a number of different performing note deals that I've done. And I think he finally, this weekend, he came to Minneapolis, and I could see a little bit of softening when I talked to him at Christmas time, and he was sort of taking a look at the performance of his 401k, being in mutual funds and things with the airlines, and so this weekend he said, this weekend I'm going to go to the Minneapolis. You guys are coming here, so talk to Equity Trust and get my brother set up with a self-directed IRA. And initially he said that he would be willing to put in, you know, 10 to 20,000. And this weekend he said, you know, because I talked to him a little bit about in-service distribution from his 401k. And he looked into that. He said, yep, that's something that I can do. And, you know, maybe he'll throw in 100 to 200,000 to buy some notes. So with that, I started to sweat a little bit.
When you said he's with the airlines, is he a pilot?
Yes.
And he's with American?
He's with Delta.
Okay, so I don't know about their program. You know, American is part of the bankruptcy thing. You can move all your money out of the 401k and self-direct it and do an IRA.
Yeah, I think Delta went through the same thing because he was part of Northwest, and then Northwest bought up Delta. So I think it's probably the same thing.
Yeah, all these pilots have crazy amounts of money in their retirement account, and all they got to do is they can move it to a self-directed company.
Yep, and that's what he's looking at doing. So I showed him the last deal that I bought that I'm closing on, and he was like, no way. He said, you didn't do that. And I said, well, here's the numbers, because it was the same executive summary that I gave Joe to help write up for the webinar.
Yeah.
And he's like, man. He said, I want some of that.
That's awesome.
So what I was looking at doing is, it made me realize, like, okay, now I need a little bit of help, because I really, you know, it's one thing investing your money. I take that very seriously, but when I'm investing for someone else, then it's like, you know, all the I's have to be dotted and T's have to be crossed. And you know, talk about due diligence on hyperdrive. That's probably going to be me. So I'm looking for your help.
All right. So so have you run some numbers on a partial? Do you kind of know where you are?
Yeah, there's a couple partials that I could do with my own. But if he threw me sort of a lump sum, he was talking between 100 and 200,000. I would probably run out of inventory pretty quickly, and so that's why I was looking at, you know, does it make sense to, one, you know, is there anything that you know of, and I know that, you know, you're not an attorney here, don't play one on TV, but anything to do with anything from a prohibited transaction that you know of with my brother?
Well, I believe that the answer is that your brother is not a prohibited transaction. Okay?
Okay.
I probably would get some advice on it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the scariest part of the deal, right, is that it happens to be your brother, and if you do the partial, you know, can you do it with his money?
Right.
And I'm fairly certain that the legal answer is yes, you can. Now, you know the big disclaimer, right? I'm not an attorney and don't play one
yep.
on TV and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yep. But I think there was going to be someone from Equity Trust actually at the Minneapolis 3-day coming up. So I was going to try to pull him aside and see if there's anything more I could glean from him.
Yeah, I would. I would, for sure.
So, and then, you know, say that everything goes okay with that. Then I was sort of taking a look at, you know, would it be better for me to just take the 100, 150, 200,000, give them 10%, and just invested in performing, non-performing REOs and just, you know, give them an interest rate. And if I did that, what's the best way to collateralize the investment?
Well, I think you're going to need to check from both sides. So his money is going to be in his 401k.
Yep. Well, so I think he's going to roll it over into a self-directed IRA.
Okay. So once again, he's going to have the same issue you're going to have, right? He's got to be sure that being his brother is not in any way going to put him in a risky spot.
Yep.
In that regard. So I borrowed a lot of money from lenders in the past for the purposes of buying a note. A lot of money. Tens of millions. And so basically what you're going to do is you're going to collateralize your loan with him with a collateral assignment of the lien. Okay? So you're going to sign a note just like you'd sign a real estate note. Okay?
Okay.
And instead of doing a mortgage against a piece of property, you're going to do a collateral assignment of your lien. So to do it correctly, you should endorse the note, the physical note, over to him, and then you would collaterally assign the assignment, the deed of trust. If you're doing a land contract, you're actually going to do a mortgage against the property, because when you buy a land contract, you have title to the property, right?
Yep.
So you're going to mortgage it.
Okay.
And that's how you do it.
Okay.
Best guy to physically help you paper that the most efficiently would probably be Jeff Watson.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And you're going to want that because you're just going to want a third party to do it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, let's see, Matt. We have any? I'm quite surprised we don't have any people lighting up the board on this one. Let's see here.
Once the shot goes away, they'll start lighting it up.
Yeah, because there was a couple other strategies that I was thinking of, that I could buy the entire note, and sell the entire note his IRA. I could buy the note in my IRA and sell partials to his, making sure that he had a 10% yield. Mm-hmm. Do the $100 model, keeping the back end. I think. I remember hearing on one of the archives about a little bit of a hybrid where, he gets his 10% and then anything, if I wanted to do almost a little bit like a profit sharing, so say I make 18 to 20% and then split anything above 20, I would imagine he's making enough money that he would qualify I forgot what they call it, but talk to Ryan and see if he could invest with one of the Colonial funds. So I'm really taking a look and saying, okay, one, are there some things that I could do to one, help him invest, but I also want to make sure from a safety standpoint that I'm just not taking a look at what I can make on this, because it really has to be something that he feels confident in, because the other bigger part of that is he knows a lot of airline pilots that have a lot of cash on the sidelines, so if I do good by him, I'm hoping that from a marketing standpoint, he might be one of my best marketers to fellow airline pilots.
Well, thanks God for technology, Ryan has already texted me, okay? No. No, Ryan is affirming that it is not a prohibited transaction, that you can do business with your brother. And what I would do with him is probably just a straight up partial. I wouldn't do anything. Okay. I wouldn't do anything fancy. I'd do a partial. If he has a lot of money and he wants to diversify and put some of the money in the capital fund or something like that, that's makes sense. You know, because people don't want to put all their money in one strategy.
Right.
But I will tell you that I have seen this more than once where you start down the road with somebody and then all of a sudden it's, you know, they're all their airline buddies and it's like it snowballs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do an income split with him. I don't think you need to. He's earning a 10% return. You're buying performing notes at probably a 13 or 14 return.
Yep.
And you just don't need to offer him more juice than that. I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do the arbitrage. You got to make some. You got to have some yield spread on the backside of this thing. You're not being unfair with him, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Now you're not. He's not investing with you, right? Just to get the terminology correct. You own a note,
yep.
And he's investing in the front end of that note.
Yes, absolutely.
So you use the expression, he's investing with me.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just cleaning up your terminology a little bit.
Yep, that's a good catch.
Yeah.
No, if we'd be investing, then we'd be putting in, you know, I mean, is that an option, though? Because I guess that would be one of the questions that I would have is if he put up, say, 75% of the money, and I put up 25% of the money plus the expertise and things that I've learned at Note School, could we do a 50-50 split on that?
Look, there's a, you know, think in terms of this. The pie's this big, and there's 1,000 different ways you can cut it up.
Yep.
Okay, the partial is a pretty good way to do it, and it's probably going to be close to the same thing, but it just, you know, it's, you know, you don't get your money until he gets his money.
Yep. Seems like it's really clean and straightforward.
It's, I mean, once again, there's I don't always go that direction, but with your story and where he's at, the partial just makes sense.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I want him to do. I want him to see him getting a check every month.
Yeah.
You want to get him excited and I mean, you feel good, and I know you do. I mean, this is a way better deal than he's got his money in the stock market, right?
Oh yeah. He was telling me about the losses, so.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a good deal for him, and you want it to be a good deal for him. But at the end of the day, it's like you want to. The first thing he emotionally needs to see is that check coming in. That's why all this other stuff is not what I would do.
Okay.
Because this is the easiest way. He wakes up in 60 days. Whip, hey, got my first check.
Perfect.
Make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Great one, Joe. Keep us posted on that.
Yep. Well, thanks for all your help. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Matt.
Excuse me. All right. Nessa, next up, excuse me on that. Oh, by the way, before we go a little bit any further, Barbara was asking, do you record the collateral assignment for that partial?
You would. If you borrowed money against it, yes, it's the collateral assignment is recorded of record. Yep. All right, got Mr. Russ?
Yeah, let me get him unmuted. I was reading there was another question on the board there, so I will. Russ, by the way, I think you have yourself muted. There you go. Cool.
Yep, you unmuted me.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, it's going pretty well.
Yeah?
Yeah, I stumbled into an interesting opportunity.
All right.
There's a fella who inherited a house, and he's living in this house, and he's renting out rooms in the house to other people. But the house is free and clear, and he wants to sell the house. Of course, there's almost $14,000 in back taxes due against it. And he didn't. And he claims he didn't even know that there's any taxes due on it. So anyway, the house, it's a good-looking house. It's in Richardson. It's in a good neighborhood. It's right next to a better neighborhood. And the county has it evaluated on the tax rolls for $196,000. Zillow says it's worth, you know, like $270,000, which is probably not really true, but it's a four-bedroom, three-bath house, and it needs a lot of work, but I can buy it with seller financing for $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, I'll buy it with seller financing, I'll pay the taxes, I'll either do a prehab and flip it, or I'll go all the way and, you know, get it ready to retail and sell it. So I just wanted to kind of go over my idea and just see if I was missing something or if there's any flaws in my plan or what you thought.
Let's do it. I love it. I mean, I always say the best deal is when you don't need a calculator, and I'm pretty sure we don't need a calculator on this one.
Well, I used one, but it didn't do any good. Didn't change the numbers any.
Did you do something to this guy? Did you give him some kind of medicine or something? Or?
Well, I know his boss. We're trying to kind of talk to him and said, you know, where are you going to live if you sell this house? And so I'm a little bit concerned about that. But he wants to sell a house, and so, I mean, if nothing else, during the time that I hold the that I'm paying on the note, I mean, if I'm paying him over $800 a month on the note, he could live, you know, that would go a long way towards rent or whatever until the note paid off. So I think he'll be okay if he doesn't blow the money, right?
So he's going to 100% finance it, and then you got to pay the taxes.
Right. I was thinking, and this is still in negotiations, but I was thinking we might give him, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 at the closing table. But okay. I don't know. That's still up in the air at this point.
Okay.
But it wouldn't kill me to do that.
Well, you know, you could buy the front end of his note.
I'm not following you.
Well, he's going to owner finance it, isn't he?
Right, then I could buy the note back from him?
Yeah, you could buy a partial from him.
Well, I was thinking someone could buy a partial on him. It didn't occur to me that it could be me.
Well, you can call one of your close friends. I'm close to him.
Yeah, that's not bad. If I wound up hanging on to it for a while,
I'll take a swing on you if I buy that 2 or 3 year partial with renewable options to buy more.
Yeah, the borrower's got great credit. Borrower's got, you know, 800 credit that's popping the top out of the credit score. There's no risk on this deal at all.
I figured the borrower would be your self-directed retirement account.
I'm probably going to do it with an entity and a partner.
Okay.
So that's not a bad idea, though, now that you mention it. See, this is why I beat this stuff up. Ooh, IRA.
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but you could. What I'm thinking you do, so you buy the house from him. He owner finances it. You sell a partial of 2 or 3 years at a high yield with renewable options. So what if he just got $20,000 every 2 years?
Yeah, so even if we never sold it, if I just hung on to it and just kept selling partials, he could still get chunks of cash out.
Yeah, but here's how you're going to sell it.
Okay.
Instead of flipping it off, why don't you just sell it on a wrap note?
Well, I wouldn't be wrapping a banknote, would I? I'd be wrapping my own note. I guess that would be okay.
I would sell it for 300 grand to some business owner that can't get bank financing with a big down payment, 60 grand, 50 grand, and carry it on 30 years, and, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now, thing pays off.
Yeah, that actually might work because the houses across the street are like $300,000 houses.
Well, your owner financing, right?
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're seller financing to a deserving buyer with a large down payment.
Right.
And you got then you're going to pay 15 grand to get the taxes paid and pay the title for a title policy, which you better get, by the way. And all of a sudden you get 60,000 down, so all of a sudden you recapitalize your what you got in it, make profit up front, and then once again you could sell the partial, you know, or you could go broker the partial. And you know, once again, the way to do it is just write it in there, say, like, you know, instead of getting monthly payments, you might just rather have lump sums of money, and you could get a lump sum of money every 2 years. Wish I had my calculator here close by.
I got one.
Well, put is the payment $830 a month?
Yeah.
All right, put $830 a month in at 20% interest for 24 months and see how much money that is.
20% interest?
Yeah.
For how many months?
24.
24 months. 16,307.
All right, put in 30 months.
$19,470.
Okay, so you could do something like that.
Yeah.
And it would just be a renewable option. You're buying a partial with the right to buy the next partial. Now put in $300,000 at 7% interest payable over 30 years.
Oh, well, I must have pushed the wrong button. Hang on.
And 7% may be too cheap. Maybe too cheap of an interest. The reason I wouldn't be too scared of is it's going to pay off early.
All right, payments are dead, almost $2,000 a month, 1995, 1996. Yeah. That's a nice payment.
All right, so let me tell you what else you could do with that. Okay? So you have a wrap note, right? So of your $2,000 a month, you got to pay off $830, right?
Right.
So take whatever your net payment is, $1,100 bucks a month, and sell that partial for 5 years.
Pushing the wrong button. Hang on. I'm almost there. Okay, so I got a payment to work with of $1,166.
You know what? Back off the principal a little bit, because I think you're going to get a big down payment. I think you can find a business owner that's not bankable that'll come with a big down payment. So just say that you sold it for 300 grand and got 50,000 down. You're financing 250. So take $250 over 30 years, say it's 7.5% interest.
All right, that gives me a payment of $1,663.
All right, subtract $830 from it, because remember, that's the underlying debt. Right, so your net income out of the deal is this almost about $800, right?
Yeah, that's about half, you know, so $833. So I'm doubling the payment, right?
Okay, so do this. Just say that you want it. See, the reason you might sell a partial is you don't really want the cash flow. What you really want is you want to own the residual interest when it pays off early. Right? So if you don't want the cash flow out of the deal, then what you do is you reverse engineer it and sell a partial. So you sell the net payment on the wrap every month at a pretty good yield, say 12. 5 years, and then look at how much money you get. Well, all of a sudden now you get about $40,000.
I think you lost me. Sorry.
Okay.
I've been slow all day.
Okay. So step A is you're going to buy it. You're going to buy the house from Billy Bob that lives in the house. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's going to owner finance it for you.
Right.
Okay. Now, he may want a lump sum of money, and what you could do is buy a partial from him that renews.
Okay.
You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you're going to buy a 30-month partial for $19,000, and every 30 months, you have the right to buy the next 30 months for $19,000.
Okay.
You're buying his own note on installments. The reason I know this so well is I've done this many times.
You're getting this poor guy coming and going, you know. Anyway, okay.
No, he's you're giving him what he wants.
That's right. We're giving him cash, and I'm making a good yield on the partial that I'm buying. Right.
Now, instead of your turning around and flipping the deal, the way you're really going to make the most money out of it is you're going to use the financing leverage to own the house long term. So you turn around and sell it to a deserving buyer with a large down payment for $300,000 in an as is condition and get $50,000 down.
All right.
Okay. Now you got $50,000 down and it cost you $15,000 to close.
Right.
So you're $35,000 to the good right now, right?
Right.
Plus, you don't really want the monthly payment. What you'd rather do is get a lump sum, but the reason you're selling a partial is because you know it's going to pay off early. And the reason I changed the interest rate from 7 to 7.5 is I want it to be painful enough, the interest rate, so that they'll be incentivized to pay you off early.
Okay.
Okay. So now you turn around and sell 5 years of your net monthly payment of the
$833.
Okay. Right? All right. So you bought the house. Somebody else bought the partial from him with a renewable option, and you got some kind of profit that you can make off it to get in the middle of that, right? Now,
right.
You sold it. You get a big down payment, which after even the down payment you made, you're $35,000 to the good, and then you don't want the monthly payment every month on your wrap payment, and so you sell that position.
I sell that partial. A 5-year partial at 830, that can't be right. That's a big number. Let me try that again.
It'll be about 40 grand.
Okay. All right. 830. 5 years. Oh, what kind of interest sell the partial at?
Say 12%.
That's what I was thinking. 12%.
Oh, I do have a calculator on this little phone here.
Okay, I got, yeah, 37,300.
Right. Hey, I'm honest.
It's almost like you've done this before.
Dang, I'm close.
That's amazing.
All right, okay. So you got $70,000 up front. And what you've done is you got 35 when you sold it. You got 50 down, and it cost you 15 to close. You sold the partial for 37, so you got about 70 grand money in this deal. You're not making any monthly payments. 5 years from now, you're going to take the amortization of what your underlying lien is, which you're going to be owing him about 100 grand, and the amortization of your $250,000 loan, which you didn't going to amortize hardly any. And your net equity in an early payoff situation, it's got you making $140,000, $150,000.
Well, that's a lot more than I had planned. Okay, I like it.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I guess I'm not sure why I would sell a partial on
because you don't want the
wrap note.
You don't want the payments.
Why don't I want the payments?
Go take 70 grand and go buy something else with it.
Oh, that's why I don't want those payments, darn it. Okay.
In other words, it depends on what cycle you're in, okay? But you're in a accelerated mode here where you want to take a little money and do a lot with it, right?
Yep, that's where I am.
That strategy I gave you gets you there.
Okay. And I thought you were just going to go, yeah, okay, good idea. Good luck. See ya. All right.
I have to show some of you old timers sometimes that I haven't forgotten everything. How long have you been with me, Russ?
Well, I started in December of 2011.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you something, Russ. I'm just slicing and using some creative techniques. But the bones of this deal are phenomenal, okay? I can look like a rocket scientist because you've made a hell of a good deal. So I want to be clear about it. You're the real deal architect here.
Well, every blind squirrel finds an acorn, hopefully two or three a year.
So yeah, I used to do a lot of like what I just showed you. I mean, I've done that kind of thing over the years in different ways. And once again, I would do it where I really wasn't trying. I was just trying to. They're kind of wealth plays. They're not. It's not a cash flow play. It's a wealth play. And believe it or not, it's not that many twists to what you're doing. I mean, you literally could – you'd have to kind of write it out, you know, and stuff. But it's not that confusing.
Okay. So my next question is, who do I get to write up this deal? I mean, can I do this through my servicer? Do I need to find a local attorney to do this?
Yeah, you're going to want to close it at a title company.
You faded out right when you were giving me the answer.
No, you're gonna close it with a title company.
Okay.
Pro Title can do it.
They can do the paperwork on this deal, or they can do the closing.
They can do the closing, but I mean, all you're doing is a note.
Yeah, I don't typically write my own notes. I don't know where to go to get one. Whether I should call up Brian Dunklin or find a firm, or I'm not sure.
Well, let me just, I mean, Brian Dunklin's a great guy, and he can do it. He is an expensive attorney, and I would just go to a title company and do it.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
I tell you who.
That's a good answer.
You know who Craig Penfold is?
I do not.
Craig Penfold owns a Chicago title company, String of Branches, in Dallas. He used to be a judge, and he closes all his Zorillas deals. And just get a hold of one Craig Penfold's, closers. Craig himself wouldn't do this, but Craig Penfold's, I mean, I used to close with his offices. And okay. He can do it. He's a good guy.
Okay. All right. That'll work.
All right.
Appreciate the lead. And I appreciate all the great ideas.
That's too much fun. I shouldn't be able to charge y'all for that, but I can, and I do.
It's worth charging just for the entertainment.
Oh, all right, Russ. Take care, bud.
All right. Thanks, Eddie.
Lisa wants to know if he wants to go ahead and sell that to her for a quick profit.
I think Russ is going to stick on this one.
And could you real quickly elaborate for Carolyn how Russ could sell the note unless he puts a second on the house? I think I'm understanding what she's asking there.
Okay, so Matt, you're going to owner finance a house for me, right?
Okay.
I'm going to buy it from you, and you're going to owner finance it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm buying a house with owner financing. So you give me very favorable terms, 5%, 15 years, and your monthly payment is $830 a month. Okay? So I say, Matt, if you would rather not have the monthly payment and instead sell those in chunks, in larger chunks of money, I got a guy named Charles Mangan. He'll buy that partial from you, 30 months, and he's going to write it in the agreement that every 30 months he's going to give you $19,000. And you say, okay. I like that. And so Charles Mangan then buys the partial from you, Matt, and I'm the payer. Okay? So I own the house, and I'm obligated to make payments every month to you. But I write it in the note when I create the note that I have the right to do a wraparound. Ain't no due on sale clause in this bad boy. Okay? So I run an ad, seller financing for deserving buyers with large down payment. Guy drives up named Bob Repass. Bob Repass wears Brogan boots, and he's in the construction business. Bob Repass can't go to the loan and get a bank loan, but he's a good guy, and he's got money. So he pays 50. I sell it to him for $300,000. He's got to go fix it and update it. He pays $50,000 down, and I finance $250,000, 7.5%, payable over 30 years. Monthly payment is $1,663. Now, from that $1,663 that I'm getting every month from Bob Repass, I got to go pay Charles Mangan $830 a month because he bought the underlying lien. You got that?
Got it.
So my net income is $833 a month. So I say, I don't really want $833 a month. So I know this chick that buys partials of notes named Susan De La Garza. So I sell Susan De La Garza my wrap note payment, have Allied service it, and they can service a wrap note. So every month they mail Charles his 830, and they mail the net payment of 833 to Susan De La Garza. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I got it. I see where you're going.
That's how it works. Yeah, Ryan was saying ideally you'd have them write it without the due on sale clause. Not ideally. Remember, you're cooking this pie, Russ. So when you buy this bad boy, you make dang sure they don't put a due on sale clause on your loan when you're buying it. So it's just a private loan, and it's totally assumable and totally wrappable.
All right.
Very good.
I got a couple more questions, so I'm going to go ahead and so, Bill, are you able to talk?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Bill?
Not too much. How are you tonight?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
All right. All right, so I know you wrote a question, but it kind of flows better if you'll ask it. So you got kind of a little bit of a tax implication question, right?
Well, this isn't a case study, but, yeah, I was just wondering. So I'm in the process of opening up my LLC, and if I buy a note in another state other than my home state, I live in Ohio. If I buy a note in Indiana, for example, you know, next year, am I going to have to file a separate tax return, an Indiana tax return?
Yeah, so you know my disclaimer, right? I can only render a layman's opinion, but my layman's opinion I'm very, very confident about. Now, the answer is no. You're not going to file a tax return in a foreign state.
Okay.
So you're going to pay federal income tax, and if you're a resident of Ohio, whatever their tax is, if they have a state income tax, but you're not going to pay state income tax in the state where you made the profit.
And that's across the country, again, to your experience?
I only got 40,000 assets worth of experience.
Okay. I understand.
So I can't say – you know, I speak very confidently.
Okay.
The only kind of tax you might pay is if you're buying an estate that has a deed transfer tax, right? So if you're in Michigan, they have a deed transfer tax. When you sell a property in Michigan, they have a sales tax on real estate called a deed transfer tax. In Florida, they call them documentary stamps. So it's just they charge a fee in order to file the deed. It's the sales tax on real estate is what it really is. But you're not okay. Paying state income tax in a state that you don't live in, no.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes,
it's
a sir.
Great,
I guess so.
It's a great question. I'm surprised that people don't ask it more often.
Okay. That was an easy one for you then.
All right. Yep. We follow the law. I just try not to voluntarily pay taxes I shouldn't be paying.
Likewise.
Got it. All right, Mr. Matt.
So, Mr. Speed, would there be an exception if your LLC was outside of your home state or your entity?
Well, sometimes you have a franchise tax on LLCs. Texas has one. And so if you lived in Colorado, but you owned a Texas LLC and it was subject to the franchise tax for LLCs, then that could be the case.
Gotcha.
In fact, You remember us talking about Summer Summit?
I do remember that.
So the Child Welfare Board is going to have a class. The tuition is just a one-day class before our regular Summer Summit. So this is an optional deal. But the Child Welfare Board is going to get all the proceeds for this, and a primary's tuition is $250, and it's going to be $200 for a guest. Now that's going to involve a bus trip to the north side and a free meal. But all day, you're going to be in this class taught by a really super sharp guy named Dykes Botiford. And guess what that class is about, Matt?
LLC is outside of your home state?
Entity formation and avoiding inordinate tax or liabilities.
Sounds like a good class to go to.
It would certainly fit the question he just asked me. All right. So we got Mr. Fred here. What's he got?
Fred, go ahead.
Hello, Eddie. How are you tonight?
What's up, buddy?
Did you say the word chick earlier today when you were referring to somebody by a partial?
I probably did. You're not a chick, are you?
No, I am not.
Okay. Well, then you're good.
Yeah. So I'm looking at a performing note in Cincinnati. It's the first note I bought from Colonial, and I was just hoping that you'd look at it a little bit and steer me away from any potholes.
All right. So this might be, Mr. Mangan, where I let you weigh in, because this is your world.
I can do that.
But you might even know this asset. Do you know this asset?
It looks familiar, Eddie. So we got a performing note. They paid how many payments here, Matt?
Looks like they paid about 18.
Okay.
Matt, you got the partial calculator open, don't you? Have you used the partial calculator and run some numbers?
No, I haven't.
Why don't we put the numbers in the partial calculator there?
Yeah, this is a typical deal that the rent is $800 a month, and this house sells for $35,000.
Right. Yeah, this is... Matt, you open up the partial calculator? All right, so let's plug some numbers in there, Matt.
Yeah, put your UPB in there, Matt.
Matt?
He's looking, I think.
I was muted. I was trying to tell you all kind of stuff. I was actually asking Fred if he could give me the numbers, but yes. What's the... 34,125.
Remaining term, I don't remember, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
I believe it's an 8%.
8.
Okay. 8. All right, and what are you paying for this note, Fred?
I am paying $23,840.
All right. Your calculator's not acting right, Matt.
Yeah. Let me open up a different one.
We're building a utility on the site where if you know any three variables, it'll just give you the fourth. And it's supposed to be available here pretty quickly.
You remember that it was 33, let's see, 021. 33021, thanks.
So, Fred, when I was referring to a chick, who was I talking about? Susan?
In your story about the partials and the sell and a repartial and backing up with all the wallpaper.
What do you think? Susan's not a chick?
I'm sure Susan is a very attractive young lady, but that chick term.
She's only been working for me 23 years, okay?
Just a few years.
Shorten that, shorten the fuse up on it, Matt, to about 100 months. Then go with your 20, what are you paying, 23.8 on that, Matt.
Yeah, 23.840.
All right. So go up to about 120 months, Matt. Go to 132. Go to 144. Okay. All right, so there you go, Fred.
And that's what we want it to look like.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about it. If I'm looking here, it's going to pay off and, you know, down the road somewhere. 96 months it pays off, and your investor's owed about 10, and you're owed about 25.
Sounds like a winner. When we're looking at these performing notes, how much do we try to read into the payment history? I mean, this guy bought the property in 2014. He's been paying, really well for a year and a half. But for instance, there's no credit information, credit score, that kind of stuff in the due diligence files. Is that anything you worry about, or do you look at this and you say, this is typical and let's just go with it?
No, we buy these notes, that's what we're looking at. When we buy a group of these notes, we don't pull credit on them typically. We're looking at the pay histories. You know, we're looking at the, you know, basically their payments every month on those notes. So, I mean, you can pull a credit. I mean, you can look at credit if you want to, but that's really not a determining factor. That borrower's paid 18 payments, and we pull his credit, and he has a 400 credit score. We're still going to buy the notes because the redeeming factor was the payments.
That was funny.
So here's the thing about it. If you're buying a note, Fred, and the guy's made four payments or six payments, if he's got a 580 credit score or a 680 credit score, there's a lot of difference in your confidence in him making the next 10 payments after you buy it, right? You're buying a note, he's made 18 or 20 payments. What does it matter if his credit score is 580 or 680? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's the thought process. So there's other redeeming factors, a pay history, that says then we're like, don't really dig deep into the their credit score. So we're not saying that you always ignore credit score. We're just saying there's circumstances that you can. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
You're buying this asset too cheap. I'm probably going to need some medicine.
I'll buy you some medicine next time I see you, Eddie.
I mean, you're buying the asset at a $10,000 discount. It makes me sick.
It makes me happy.
Why are we doing that, Mangan?
Because you love me.
That's what we do best, Eddie.
Make me sick?
Yeah, if you've seen all these we sell, you might be even sicker, so you might not want to look.
I did have another question. You know, as you know from last week, I'm trying to understand marketing and how to make this into a business. And you have, you know, a variety of wonderful information on the Note School website, and I'm wondering if and how much I can repost on our LLC's website and how we're supposed to credit it if and when we do that. I'm thinking particularly of the seller financing information, the Streetwise seller financing. You've got a couple of, you know, sort of one-page teaser documents that you wrote, and I'm not quite sure when you wrote those, but I think they're really good introductions for people who are beginning to think, you know, is there a role for seller financing in my sale of this next house?
So my question would be, how are you going to make money with that guy?
Well, that guy who I emailed you about, we'd be making fee income on each of his seller finance deals, putting together the direct marketing piece, and then we'd be getting right of first refusals on.
All right, so let me just tell you this, okay? So the note manufacturing system, right, the Note Pro deal that you read about in there, that was written prior to the Dodd-Frank.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't think you can charge a fee without an RMLO license.
Okay.
Okay, so I think the 50-50 model is a very viable way to go do things and secure an option to buy their note. So I'm saying there's some twist in the note manufacturing model, and that's why I haven't taken it down. But I think you got to remember that when we did that model, you know, bank financing was just almost impossible.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to, I mean, like, and I like, excuse me, I like being able to beat up these models with you guys. I'm going to tell you this. Trying to get somebody to create an owner finance note and buy the note from them at the closing, in my personal life experience, is a ridiculous low percentage shot.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that's not what I would chase. So when you're trying to figure out how to go make a living out of it, okay, well then you're probably doing direct mail. If you're trying to buy existing notes, you're doing direct mail and trying to, you know, trying to go get somebody that owns a one-off seller finance note to call you, and you're trying to make a trade with them. And then you're back doing to what you've heard us do with Dave Fernecki and some of those other guys. Russ did that a lot. Russ that was on the call tonight. Russ did that quite a bit back, you know, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it's a very viable business. There's a big inventory of owner finance notes. Here's what I'm going to say to you. There's several key components of doing that business. First of all, you got to have a good marketing plan to make your phone ring, and I'm giving that to you.
Right.
When they call you up, you're going to go through a sequence of interviews. It's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 calls. When you give them the price, they're going to say no. Right? If you tell somebody you're going to buy their note for 65 cents on the dollar and they go, oh, okay. I'm just telling you, that's a fluke. That's 1 in 1,000. So when you give them the price, they're not going to like the discount. And that's when we get on the phone and talk about value propositions and how to work that customer so that he understands why notes are discounted. It's logical to him.
Right.
Okay? And that's something that I like doing. I've done it. I would say of any active note buyer today, that personal skill set, I think I'm the guy in the whole business. Now, I've actually worked with a couple of guys that were better than me. One of them was my partner for a year, Joe Davis, and the other one was a guy that used to also work with me named B.D. Atkins. But I know their techniques. They just were more patient than I am.
So I've watched the manufacturing seller financing. I've read through the streetwise financing. Are there other resources on the Note School website that I should be looking at as I think about? I've gone through the direct mail marketing videos.
You know, I tell you, that Rich Rewards class, that's a good class. I was telling a student in the last week we were talking about, and he says, he was just saying, I feel a little inadequate, you know, and I said, look, you just, you know, it's just repetition, right? And I said, but I'm going to tell you something. That rich rewards class, I mean, I bet I changed that 100 times before I taped it. That's mm-hmm. a solid, solid class.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it prepares you for what we would do on this call, right? So let me ask you a question, Fred. What do you like doing? You like talking to people, or you like sitting behind a computer punching numbers?
No, I love talking to people.
Well, then you'd make a note buyer. I don't do so good teaching these engineers how to get on the phone and talk somebody out of a note. Now, they'd beat the snot out of me punching numbers on a computer, right? But that's a talking business. You got to get on the phone, got to like to talk to people, and you just got to talk them out of their note. I can teach you how to do it. It's not brain surgery.
Teach me, Eddie. Teach me.
Well, I'll do it every Monday night, a little bit at a time. I'm gonna be like that country music song where that guy stole a Cadillac out of the auto manufacturing plant, one piece at a time.
One piece at a time. There you go.
And I love doing it. So once again, I try to pick people with a certain DNA. Now Russ is an engineer. And Russ may act like he was all wooed tonight with those numbers, but trust me, by 30 minutes after I talk to him, the guy's already got it in a spreadsheet and can do it better than I can. Now, Russ has a good personality, and he gets on the phone, he bought notes. So he did that. And I have lots of students that was a big part of Ryan Parson, rock star note school student, first. Ryan Parson got on the phone and bought notes. So there's a great background in not just investing to make money in that side of the business, but it teaches you so much. Mm-hmm. That's how I learned all these creative techniques. I got on the phone with all these real estate investors that sold all these properties and come up with all these crazy ways of doing it. That's how I saw everybody's story.
Yeah, it's fun seeing that, all the different ways to carve up the turkey.
Yeah. So, once again, the note manufacturing was a market condition when there was just basically no bank financing and there wasn't Dodd-Frank. So there is some piece of that that is obsolete. Now, the reason I leave it up there is because it does have some good, deep, drill-down stuff about how notes work. So I want to get back to your website. Okay?
Yeah.
So, once again, we're going to help you figure out what your website needs to look like. I'll tell you somebody that can do your website for you super cheap. It's a lady named Tracy Rui.
What's the last name?
Rui. and it's called Note Investors. And she'll do the website for $250, and she's very good.
Okay.
Now, everybody's got their ultimate strength. There's two things that I think we are like the best at. Okay, and I know I have a lot of industry friends that are good at other things. She's better at doing websites than we are for sure. She's smarter than me for sure. But I've dropped 5 million pieces of mail to people on a note, okay? And I've trained just about every rock star that ever got on the phone buying retail and buying notes directly, okay? So those are things that when you get your marketing campaign going, then we'll just get on the phone like you've heard me do with some of these other guys, and we'll just talk about what's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just one step at a time. I have a saying that I will say to you when I start helping you with that side of the business, and I'm going to say, Fred, just keep them talking. Just keep them talking. Just keep them talking. So if you're a personality that's like, you're not chatty and you're just answer, like my son, you like to answer in, you know, one syllable answers, you know, they're going to say no, and you're going to go, okay. So there's an art form of how we teach people how to do this. By the way, in real life, Joe Davis, who's the best I've ever seen on the phone, Mangan and I would tell you that. Joe Davis is not personally a chatty, is he, Charles?
He is not. Nicest guy in the world, though.
So he's just good at interviewing somebody.
Right.
You know, he knows how to ask them questions and keep them talking. So there's different personality types that can be successful in that. You just have to kind of know who you are and then reposition it accordingly. All right, guys, what else?
All right. Before we go to kind of the wrap-up part of things, everybody will get, if you email content or me personally, I'll get you Tracy's last name spelled out. We'll get you the information out to you on how to reach out to you. But you said it's noteinvestors.com, Mr. Speed, or?
I think that's right.
We can find that out and just email me, Matt at Note School, and I'll find out and I'll email you back if you need that information. The other thing is that could you just clear this up real quick for Stuart? They were saying so that we are understanding that if you assist a seller to create a note for a property, that you cannot receive a fee.
If that transaction is subject to Dodd-Frank, I do not believe you can charge. Do you, Charles?
No. Don't think you can. Yeah, I think that's covered under Dodd-Frank.
Yeah. All right, so we ready to wrap it up here, Matty?
We are. I want to show everybody kind of our member site as it looks right now. Actually, so here we go. This is just pointing out that we have y'all went through the Hog Hunt webinar as well as Ms. Speed's the Women's Mastermind.
Yeah, so we put a little pop up in there. We did two webinars last week, one for Martha's Women's Mastermind and one for the Hog Hunt. Okay, now these are paying events that are outside of the mentor program. So this is only an optional deal, and you can click on there. These are on YouTube, and if you're interested in either one of those, you can click on there and find out the details. Okay? And these are fresh deals. We just did them at the end of last week. Okay? So one of them is about the hog hunt, and one of them is about the women's mastermind. Both of those are held up at this, what we fondly call the Note Recovery Center. But Martha's Ladies Mastermind is not a roughhouse deal. This is all ladies. It's really cool. She's done it before. Everybody loved it. It's just Tom terrific. Okay? So these are outside events, outside the mentor program if you're interested. Okay? All right. Charles, I may get you to mute there, brother.
All righty, Eddie.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, so the Titanium Mastermind is the 14th, the evening of the 14th, and the 15th and 16th. You're going to fly into Dallas. We're gonna have this. This is just for Titaniums. You're going to register for it, and then we're going to be communicating back with you, like things to get prepared for it. Okay? It's a done deal. So once again, and you're going to go to noteschool.com/titanium. Okay? Summer Summit, which is for all mentor students. We had to adjust the date because basically the lady that books the room screwed up. Not on our side, on their side. But so it's going to start June the 3rd. And it'll be June the 3rd and 4th. On June the 2nd is going to be this Dykes-Botterford class. Okay? So it's a one-day class. It starts at 9 in the morning. It'll end at 3. And then the Child Welfare Board, all proceeds for that day go to them. They're paying for the bus, and they're paying for your meal, and we're going to go to the Stockyards in Fort Worth. That's D-A-C-H, Maddie. I know you're shocked that I even know how to spell it. D-Y, D-Y, there you go. It's D-Y. There you go. And it's Botterford. Okay. So, this is a super sharp guy. Like Walter, Jeff Watson, a lot of guys, David Phelps, a lot of guys that you really respect, they have been to lots of Dykes-Botterford trainings. The guy's really good. Okay, we know him very well. He's super sharp. And he has agreed to come teach this class on a substantial charity effort for the Child Welfare Board. So all proceeds are going to go to them. There will be a sign-up process. That's June the 2nd. Our regular summer summit for all the mentor students is June 3rd and 4th. If you bought the deal to come to the Speed's house for dinner, we're going to do that on Saturday night. That'll be June 4th. So we're going to load you up and bring you out to our house. Okay? Any special other announcements I've missed, Matt?
No, I think that's all we had for right now. So.
Okay. Great session tonight. Fun. I love you guys mixing it up with me. It's pretty fun. So, okay, Mr. Mangan, go to Florida at the Mortgage Bankers Conference and go. You and Mr. Repass go find a deal for us. How about that?
We'll do that, Eddie. We'll do that.
All right. Everybody, I'm gonna stay here. I told everybody when Charles and Bob were leaving today. I said, hey, I'm going to get to be the boss again, and I'm going to change up all the rules before they get back. I said, we're going to totally rework this thing.
Good luck with that. I'll let you have it, Eddie. It's all yours for the next 3 days.
Exactly. All right, guys. Good night.
All right. Good night.